in this lesson on repent and stop doing the wrong, right? Let's go over to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 18, very familiar passage of scripture. And let's see if we can get a good understanding on repentance and why repentance is so important. As I said before, the enemy wants us to stay in sin. He wants us to keep doing sinful things because he knows what Jesus said in his word. Now, people will say, oh, Elder Scudder, but you in the Old Testament, Jesus is God. The voice of God in the Old Testament is the same voice of God in the New Testament. Even though God took on flesh in the New Testament, he did not stop being God because people saw him in the flesh. According to the scripture, he said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the only one that made the world, according to Genesis chapter number 1, it says, in the beginning God created the what? The heaven and the earth. So the one that made the heaven and the earth got into the earth in the form of a human. And he tells you why he did this. He said that for the suffering of death. He became a human. God became a human for the suffering of death. Just like the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's in Hebrews chapter number 2, he likewise took part of the same, that through death, so God knew when he came here in the flesh why he was coming. He came here to die, to face sin's judgment for us. He came to pay sin's price. The wage of sin is death. He came to pay sin's price for us. The creature was afraid of death. When Adam and Eve ate of that fruit all the way in the beginning, scripture says that the eyes of them were both were open and they sold fig leaves, trying to cover up the effects of death. The effects of death caused them to look at one another and be ashamed. They were trying to cover up the effects of death. But you can't cover up death. You can't hide from death. Some people say, oh, if I go move out of this neighborhood and go into that neighborhood, it'll be safe. No, you can't hide from death. You can't run away from death. Death is going to find you. Jesus said he's going to bring you into judgment with him. So death is going to find you. But the question is, how will it find you? Will it find you in your sin? Or will it find you with sin remitted or removed from you? So, Jesus came here, according to Hebrews chapter number 2, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. All of our lifetimes we were subject unto that bondage. Devil had that shackled on us. He had us shackled in death. Because he said, as long as I can keep that human in sin, he has to face sin's price. You say, well, where did the devil get that from? He knew Jesus. Devil know Jesus. Even though you're struggling to know Jesus, Satan knows Jesus. He knows the power of Jesus. We just come to know Jesus during our lifetime. But Satan been knowing Jesus from the beginning of time. Satan been knowing Jesus from the day that he was created. He says, scripture says that he created Lucifer. And Lucifer was created to be an angel or a worker for Jesus. A praiser for Jesus. And when he realized within himself that he got, that scripture says that the iniquity filled his heart. Jealousy. Filled his heart. He wanted to be like the Most High God. And for that thought, he fell from his position of grace in a place, a position that he could not get back. Then he not only affected himself, he caused other angelic beings to fall. And that's why you got to be real careful about that spirit. That's why I tell you it's not a new spirit. They want to divide and conquer. Satan realized that's how he fell. And he used that same tactic on Adam and Eve. And he uses that same tactic on humanity. He tries to infect humanity with a bunch of poison, a bunch of negative stuff. I think Brother Jones talked about that this morning. When he was saying about the lady called him, and then what did he say? He said, sold her some common sense. What are you calling me for? What am I going to do? But what was that spirit that was in that family trying to do? It was trying to infect him, trying to bring him into that poison. In other words, messing up his day. You know, making him think about things that he didn't really want to think about. Who want to have an image in their mind of a man beating on a woman, of a man abusing a woman? And you know, even when he get off the phone, he is at the worry, is she going to be all right? Or am I going to get a call that he done killed her? And all this other kind of foolishness. But that's how the devil works. He wants to spread his poison. He wants to spread his negative energy. He's not satisfied being miserable by himself. He wants you to be miserable right along with him. He wants to bring you into that thing called bondage. But Jesus says, I've come to deliver you from the bondage of sin. All of your lifetimes you were subject to that. But Jesus said, I've come to deliver you from that. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from sin. That's the truth. Jesus has come to save you and I from sin. But you should say within yourself, who in the world is that trying to keep me to stay in sin? When Jesus said, I've come to save you from sin, who in the world wants me to stay in sin? Nobody but the devil. Nobody but Satan wants you and I to stay in our sin. And if you look, go over to what I say, Ezekiel chapter number 18, and see what Jesus is saying that Satan knows. Satan knows the word just like you know the word. So Satan is well aware of what Jesus is saying in Ezekiel chapter number 18. 18 and verse number 4, it says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And notice what it says after that. Y'all should have that highlighted in your book. The soul that sinneth. Y'all see that? Huh? It ain't no mystery. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So this is why you should say, Elder Scudder, why is that message of repentance so important? Because the message of repentance is trying to get you to stop going down that path that's going to kill you. If you continue, you say, well, Elder Scudder, I don't see anything wrong with sin. I'm trying to tell you, when sin gets finished with you, it's going to kill you. It's not going to help you. It is going to kill you. Even when sin feels good, even when sin looks good, even when sin makes you laugh, you have to have it embedded in your mind that all sin wants to do is kill. Right? Oh, yes, saints, that's the truth. That's all sin can do is kill. That's all sin can do is bring you death. And Jesus himself already told you, the soul that sinneth, it shall do what? You keep on living long enough, you will find that scripture to be truth. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Nobody but the devil will try to get you and I to sit around on this thing called earth and waste our time in sin, knowing that one day you and I are going to stop breathing. And then the question should be asked, when we stop breathing, where are we going to wind up? What is going to happen to me once I stop breathing here on this earth? Well, in order for me to know that and understand that, I've got to listen to what Jesus is telling me. Jesus is telling me, you go ahead, human. Go ahead and keep on living in sin. Keep on doing your sinful thing. Keep on promoting sin. Keep on laughing about sin. Keep on joking about sin. But one day you're going to have to pay the price. And sin's only wage is death. Huh? Come on. You and I are not strong enough to beat Jesus. You and I are not strong enough to try to talk our way around Jesus. He's already told us this fact before we get started in life, that the soul that sinneth, it shall do what? It's going to die. You and I don't belong to ourselves. So we don't even have, we can't even change that verdict. We can't go around and say, oh no, but I'm going to change that. You can't change that. Because the beginning of the verse already told you, behold, all souls are mine. Huh? Jesus done told you, I own you. Right? I own you. You don't own yourself. Jesus said, I own you. And if you don't take advantage of the plan that I have laid out to get you out of your sin, you're going to die in sin. You're going to just have to let sin, what it want to do to you, you're just going to have to feel the effects of it and deal with it. That's all. If you think about death, when the scriptures say, hell and death is going to be cast into the lake of fire, and the scripture tell you the wage of sin is death, you should be asking yourself a question. Why in the world will I let myself keep staying in sin when I know the only thing sin is going to result in is death, and death and hell is going to be in the lake of fire? And if you sit up, I can't stand the heat, I don't want to burn. Within you, something in your mind should say, I don't want to go to hell then. I need to get it fixed in my mind. I need to stop this sinning. I need to stop doing this stuff called sin. I need to stop letting sin have its way in my life. Because all it's going to do is to bring me what? Death. That's the truth. That's the truth. If you go over to jump down a little bit more and go over to verse number 20. Let's go over to verse number 20. The soul that sinneth. And now that's repeating what 4 says. The soul that sinneth, it shall do what? It shall die. Verse number 20 is telling you again. The soul that sinneth, it shall do what? It shall die. The son, my son Darian is not going to bear my iniquities. That is my son. Darian is my son. Darian is not going to bear my iniquity. And neither am I going to bear Darian's iniquity. Huh? Everybody see that? The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. Now people say, oh Darian, you shouldn't behave like that because your dad is a preacher. We need to get out of that mind frame. What I'm doing, the good that I do ain't got nothing to do with Darian. The good that I do, the standard that I live by, it has nothing to do with Darian. Darian is not going to get a special pass, nor is he going to be judged more because he is my son. And I am a preacher or a pastor. Darian has to get righteousness on him for himself. Huh? In other words, your children got to live right for themselves. And if they ain't got no mind to live right, you say, well, my children act like pure demons. That is no excuse for you to act like no demon. Huh? Their sin is going to be on them. Huh? That's why I tell you, this salvation is very personal. You need to get justified for yourself. If your children don't have a mind to be saved, that's why the first message from the church was save yourself. Huh? Isn't that something on the day of Pentecost, after the folk just received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost? It's amazing that Jesus would say, have a message like that. Jesus didn't talk about no joy. Jesus didn't talk about no peace. Only thing, he put that hammer real hard down on the human. He said, save who? Yourself. Huh? Yes, the Holy Ghost has joy. Yes, the Holy Ghost has peace. But you need to understand this is a very serious message. This message will divide mother from daughter, father from son, husband from wife. Why? Because you're going to have to stand before Jesus by yourself. You're going to have to give an account for the things you've done in your own body. So that means if my husband or my wife don't want to be saved, I got to have it fixed in my mind. I need to be saved. If my son or my daughter don't have a mind to be saved, I got to have it fixed in my mind. I want to be saved. Why? Because what I do is not going to be on them, and what they do ain't going to be on me, right? Does that make sense? Father's not going to bear the sin of the Son. Son is not going to bear the sin of the Father. His righteousness, huh? The righteousness of the righteous is going to be upon him. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon who? That's the truth. That's why a lot of times, you know, people say, oh yeah, oh, mom and daddy did me horrible. And because they did me horrible, I got to be horrible. No, you don't. People say that, oh, my family was cursed. My family had a curse on them. My family had a curse on them years ago, and that thing fall on me. And I can tell I'm cursed because all this bad stuff happened to me. No, you're not understanding the scripture. The scripture said, I don't care how bad your mom and daddy was. That ain't got nothing to do with you. You are your own soul. Huh? You are your own soul. And Jesus told you, just like he told your mom and your dad and their parents, the soul that sinneth, it shall do what? So that means I can turn away from that. I can turn away from that thing where people talk about generational curse. I can turn away from being involved in a generational curse. Do you understand? I could be the product of a parent that was raped. Huh? Isn't that the truth? My mom could have been raped by some man that did not know her. And because it was a horrible experience for her, she could walk around and be so bitter and hateful and look at me and say, I can't stand you. Because every time I look at you, you remind me of the horrors that happened to me. You can look back at your mother and say, I feel sorry for you. But because the thing happened to you, that has nothing to do with me. I am my own soul and I want to be saved, right? I am my own soul. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I tell y'all all day long, sin ain't nothing pretty to look at. When you talk about sin, sin is nothing pretty to look at. Sin is a horrible state. Huh? That devil had us fooled. Long time. Long time when you're out there drinking, out there smoking, out there drugging it up, out there sleeping around, you had it in your mind you were having fun. But all that devil had you, he had you in a trap. And he was trying to cut your life off in the trap. But it was the grace and mercy of Jesus that stopped death from happening to you, right? It was nothing but the grace and mercy of Jesus that did not allow sin's judgment, huh, to come and just snatch you right there. Huh? Can you imagine if you died while you were doing one of those sinful things that you got in the back of your mind? Those dark stuff. Stuff that you don't share with nobody. I'm talking about dark, nasty stuff. If you imagine if the Lord had allowed sin's judgment to hit you like that, when that stuff, when you were involved in, you ask yourself, where would I be at right now? Huh? Where would I be at right now? Talking about church, you would be in hell. Huh? You would be in hell right now. The grace and mercy did not allow you to die. Grace and mercy allowed you to go on in and keep on doing it. Keep on doing it until you realize, man, this stuff ain't helping me. This stuff is trying to choke the life out of me. Huh? Here I am trying to breathe, trying to enjoy life, trying to enjoy having some peace, and this stuff is choking the life out of me. Huh? It ain't helping me live. It's trying to kill me, right? Huh? Sin is trying to kill me. Read a little bit more. Go down to verse number 21. This is repentance. Verse number 21 is repentance. Huh? What do I need to do with wickedness? See, you got to stop it. I got to have that thing embedded in my mind. I just got to stop it. If the Lord says it's wrong, I got to stop it. If it's not like Jesus, I've got to stop it. You can't be fooled by the devil using Jesus and holy stuff to promote his message. Huh? I told you all, you got to be real careful. You got to be real careful with this thing called holiness. You got to make sure you're living the life that is pleasing to Jesus. Not what man says, but what Jesus says.
And you got to make sure that when you go through and you start selecting stuff to read, stuff to put on, stuff to sing about, is this Jesus? Everybody talking about Jesus ain't about Jesus. Every message that is out there that's got his name in it, it don't represent Jesus. Some of that stuff is mixed in with sin, huh? Some of that stuff is intertangled all with kind of lust and fleshly stuff. And you got to make sure you say, oh, no. I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be associated with that, because that doesn't give a true reflection as to who Jesus has called me to be. Huh? Come on, who did he call you to be? He told you first of all, come out from among them and be ye separate, to touch not the unclean thing. Huh? That means, what does that mean, Elder Scudder? If it looked like sin, I ought not to bother with it. Huh? If that bottle looks like a cooler, and that cooler looks like liquor, I ought not to bother with it. Huh? Why? Because the Lord told me to touch not the unclean thing. Don't let my good be evilly spoken of. Don't give the very appearance of evil, right? Huh? You got to be real careful about that thing, right? Yeah, I got to be real cautious about that. And I got to realize in my repentance, Jesus calling me to not see how much sin I can, try to get in. So much sin that I can get away with. Huh? Ain't that the truth? You all see, I got a suit on. And you know I got a shirt on top of that suit. But all on my t-shirt, I can have cuss words. Huh? All kind of nasty stuff on my t-shirt. And can you see it? But who knows it? Not just Jesus, me. Because I put the thing on. And somebody can say, well, don't nobody see it, so ain't nothing wrong with it. Yes, it is. Because the Lord told you, don't come out from among them. Huh? See, that's why I tell you all, you can't go by the suit. You can't go by how people looking on the outside. This thing got to be in you. Huh? This thing got to be in you. It even go down to your underclothes. Your underclothes got to be holy. Huh? Your undergarments got to be holy. Huh? You can't wear undergarments that look like stripper wear. Huh? Because you know what strippers represent. Huh? And just because you talk about I'm holy and I'm sanctified, Jesus said, I'm looking at everything. Huh? All of you got to be holy, right? All of you got to be sanctified, right? Elder Scudder, you shouldn't be talking about that stuff. I'm trying to help you. Lord told you to do something with the sin. Huh? He didn't tell you to try to cover it up, try to conceal it. He told you, turn away from it. You know sin when you see sin. Turn away from it. Is that what the book said? Huh? Verse number 21. Huh?
If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed.
And then you know, isn't that something? So the Lord said, you know your lifestyle. You know the things that you did out there. Huh? You know you committed this stuff. Now you got to stop it. Huh? You got to turn away from all of that stuff that you used to commit. That word commit means you used to do. Huh? All that stuff that you used to do, you need to turn away from it. Say, if you were someone that drank beer in a brown paper bag, huh? You say, well, I don't drink no beer in the paper bag, but I drink a can of soda now. And you still have it in the paper bag. To you, that represents what you used to do in sin. Huh? So now you can't walk around and say, I got a soda in my brown paper bag. Because those that used to walk with you don't know it's a soda. They may think it's still beer. Huh? Huh? Come on, you know the stuff you committed. Huh? If you were one that walked and visited this person and visited that person, you went into this house and went into that house, you got to stop it. Huh? Well, you say, Elder Scudder, I'm trying to witness to them. Witness to them on the sidewalk. Stop going in their house, right? Why? Because people knew your lifestyle. Huh? They knew the stuff that you used to do. Huh? And the Lord told you to turn away from it, right? Turn away from it. Huh? He said, Elder Scudder, I like the bass. I like the boom, the boom. And I like that boom, boom. You know, when I was running down the street, I liked to hear that music. Boom, boom, boom. You got to turn away from that. Well, it's gospel music. The world don't know it. All they hear is that bass. All they hear is that beat. And they see you bumping like that. To them, they still think you still doing the same thing. Huh? To you, it's sin. Huh? Because it represents what you used to do. Y'all understand this, sir? I'm trying to help you. You got to turn away from that stuff, right? Huh? That's what repentance looks like, right? You call yourself repentance because you say you're in the church, but you're still doing the same thing. Huh? So you used to wear jewelry like a pimp? Huh? Yeah, you used to wear all that jewelry, flashy stuff, like a pimp. Now you come on into the holiness. You say you got the Holy Ghost, but you're still looking like a pimp. Huh? You haven't changed. And the Lord told you, you committed that stuff. Huh? You need to do what? Turn away from it. Huh? Oh, yeah. Even brothers, when we wear our hats, you know, we used to wear the hats to the side. We used to go to the clubs and the cabarets, to the hats to the side, and get a little step in it. And now, if you're not careful, you'll come in here on a Sunday morning, your hat to the side. But you think because you got a Bible in your hand, it's still sin. Why you say it's sin? Because you look like what you used to commit. Huh? And Elder Scudder didn't say this. This is what your book says. But if the wicked will turn from all sins that he have committed, right? You need to know yourself, right? You need to know yourself. The stuff that you committed. And do what? Start keeping all of Jesus' rules.
And do that which is lawful and right.
Yes.
Live,
what will he do?
Live.
And that what we trying to do?
Yes.
We come into the church because we want to live. Huh? You ain't coming into church to die. You messing yourself up. Say, I'm coming here because I want you to do my funeral. Man, you missing the big picture. This ain't the church for you to be focusing on no death. You trying to focus on living. This is what we are doing. We're focusing on living. Well, Scudder, I can picture my casket right here, and this is how I want. No! You need to focus on living. Huh? Well, Scudder, I just want to make sure that I have this kind. Focus on living. I hate the concept that they put all this money in caskets. The human has been fooled. If we're truth be told, we need to put some lumber from out of the Home Depot and build stuff out of plywood. Because that's the value of your life. You ain't nothing but dirt anyway. We spend thousands of dollars in the wrong place. Give all your money to somebody that don't even know you nor care about you. All you are is a business transaction to them. You don't mean anything to them. And here, you struggle. Come on, saints, you better wake up out of sleep. You struggle. Struggle to support the place that's trying to help you to do what? Live. Don't even want to pay your tithes like you're supposed to. And it's to help you do what? Do y'all understand that? Every time the devil put it in your mind not to do it, you should look at yourself in the mirror. Say, why am I here?
Jesus, thank you.
Why am I here? I'm trying to live. I'm not trying to die.
No.
You trying to die? Stop coming to church.
Yeah.
Stop coming. You'll sure enough be on that path to death. Ain't no sense you coming to church and planning to die. Well, you could do that real good out there in the world. At least have fun. If you're going to go die, you might as well have fun doing it. Why, as Bishop used to always say, why go to hell in a straitjacket? If you're planning on dying, going out there in the world and have fun doing it. Be the best deaf person you can be. Fella had a video of a woman walking down the street with her in some night clothes. Walking high, looking, everybody looking at her said, now, you know people done lost. But she was being the best sinner she could be. She was trying to let folk know, I'm on the path to death. And you the fool for watching her. That's why I tell you, saints, you got to be careful. Because you'll be looking and you say, oh, that look good. That got some attention. Do you want to get that kind of attention? When the Lord is telling you to be pleasing in whose sight? His sight. Certain things the Lord is not pleased with. Huh? Yeah, well, see how they do those lotto scratch-off things? I'm trying to tell you how the enemy set this stuff up. It's amazing. Because the children, we went to Wawa the other day, and they were attracted to the lotto scratch-off machine. Why? Because all they could see is lights flashing. And it looked like a video game. Y'all understand it? It looked like a video game. So all they was doing was trying to push it. And they said, oh, such and such shouldn't do that. But in their mind, they weren't thinking about no lotto. They were thinking about fun. See how that stuff is getting embedded in the mind? It is fun. This represents fun. But what is it? It's the path to death. Huh? Come on, saints. Look at how the devil lines up casinos. Has flashing lights. Huh? And then you all be looking. The light, it be all dark. You go down there to the sports arena. And even down there on Front Street, on the Water Street. And see how they have everything all desolate and dark. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere is this big old bright building. All the flashing lights. Huh? And all in your mind, wow. You just be like a deer in the headlights. I wonder what it looks like in there. Got the music flashing. Fun, fun, fun. Happy, happy. That devil's setting you up. He got a path, and it's a path to what? To death. Isn't that something? We were coming down the street down there where they do all the junkyard stuff. We're all on Essington Avenue, junkyard, all the ties and stuff. And then you see all on one side, ain't nothing but a bunch of junk stuff. But then on that left side, huh? They got them little spots. One of the spots had it plain as day. Sin City.
Yes.
Sin City. They wasn't ashamed of it. And I'm trying to tell you, folk was going in the door. It's the path to death. It's the path to death. That's not the path to life. That's the path to death. And the Lord done told you to do what? Turn away from that. Turn away from it. Huh? Now, I don't want to go wrong. That he has done what?
And he keep his statutes and do that which is lawful and right.
Verse number 22 is talking about baptism. Everybody understand that? That's why you got to be real careful. Because some people will look at 21 and associate 21 with 22 and say, oh no, 21 is repentance. When I repent, that means all of my transgressions will be removed from me. No. Jesus said, repent and then be baptized. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission. So in the New Testament, we get a clear understanding. Even though I say I'm sorry, Jesus, that don't move sin away from me. I need to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. For what reason? For the remission, right? For the removal of sin, right? See, that devil, real trickery. He tried to mess people's minds up. He be having them think, well, just get on your deathbed and say you sorry to the Lord. You say you sorry to the Lord will remember, forgive you all. That's not what the word says. Word, Jesus had Peter preach on the New Testament church to do what? Repent. Repent, yes, it does mean turn away. from all of your sins. But you must be baptized. You must go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission, for the removal of sin, right? And you've got to have the Holy Ghost, right? Holy Ghost is your keeper. It's your sustainer. It's your alarm in your mind. You ain't got no alert system to make you aware that when danger is coming. Y'all know that thing on your phone when the storm is coming? It's irritating. It go bop, 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 bop. It's a thunderstorm coming. It's a hailstorm. It's a tornado. You need the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is your alarm system. You need something to bug you when you're doing wrong, right? To wake you up out of sleep to let you know danger's here. You ain't got no Holy Ghost doing that. Your Holy Ghost ain't working. Holy Ghost should let you know when you are out of place. Stephen, you got off track. You said something that shouldn't have been said. You're feeling something that you shouldn't feel. Huh? Why would you say that, Jesus? Because when you get the Holy Ghost, it should be peace, joy, and righteousness. Huh? Any feeling outside of that is not Jesus. It's not what you want, right? You don't want to be a saint that struggles with depression. Huh? You don't want to be that kind of a saint. You want a saint that has righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost, right? Tell us, God, I keep going in and out. You don't want that. That's the traits of the wicked. The wicked are like the troubled sea. Their water cannot rest. They're the ones that are tossed to and fro. There's no peace, saith my God to who? See, don't underestimate the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost brings stability into your mind. That's why you can't play around with receiving the Holy Ghost. You need something to bring stability where? Say, Elder Scott, I was on some kind of medicine to help me with depression. But if you get the Holy Ghost like you're supposed to, you don't have that medicine no more. I'm trying to tell you, you need the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will take all of that stuff out of your life. It'll bring chemical balance. Huh? I know people say, oh, yeah, sometimes people need pills to bring. Well, I guess if you're in sin, I guess you do. I guess you do need those pills to calm you down. But once you calm down, get your mind on Jesus and seek the Holy Ghost. Seek the Holy Ghost. Seek it with everything inside of you. But when am I going to need to stop the medicine? Well, you only one that's going to be able to tell that is you and Jesus. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I know when you seek the Lord with everything inside of you, the scripture has said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with what? See, that means you got to step out of yourself. Huh? You got to take your mind off of you. See, if that medicine, I need the medicine, well, your mind is on you. But I'm trying to tell you, one day you're going to get to a point where you put your mind completely on Jesus. And life won't be about you no more. And when life stops being about you, that's when you can put the medicine down. Why? Because everything will be Jesus focused. You can't tell me that's not scripture. The scripture said that man was out of his mind. He was taking off his clothes, throwing himself into the fire, cutting himself. But when Jesus told that foul spirit to come out of him, scripture said he was clothed. Huh? He had clothes on and he was in his right mind. He didn't see no psychiatrist. He only saw Jesus. And Jesus fixed him. So Jesus fixed him. Why won't he do the same thing for you? He has no respect of person. What he has done for one, he will do for you. That's why you have family members that are on that stuff. Don't promote the medicine. Tell them Jesus will save you. Jesus will deliver you from that stuff. Huh? Don't you realize that medicine is not the answer? That medicine is not a cure. See, that's a beautiful thing about Jesus. Jesus is a cure for sin. Huh? He will cure you from the effects of sin. All of it. Not some of it, but all of it. He will cure you from the effects of sin. But what must the wicked do? The wicked must turn. Huh? The wicked must turn from not some sin, all of it. You got to leave all of the sin alone. Huh? You may have to delete some numbers. You may have to throw some clothes away. You may have to throw some music CDs away. You may have to delete some stations and stuff from off of your phone and off of your radio, off of your TV. You may have to throw a whole lot of clothes in the trash. I did not say give it to Goodwill, because you don't want other folk to put sin on. Huh? Throw it in the trash. It is garbage. Huh? It represents death. Huh? You don't know how much I spent on that stuff. Sin is expensive. It costs you to waste, doesn't it? But you must get rid of it. Why I got to be the one? Because you committed it. Huh? Don't worry about nobody else. You committed it. According to this scripture, all the sins that he has committed, you did, right? That means you can't pay attention to nobody else. You pay attention to you. What did you do, right? You committed it, right? But I don't see Brother Robert. Don't you worry about Brother Robert. He's going to stand before Jesus for himself. You did, right? You need to focus on who? You committed it. So you must do a turn away from it. Huh? This is a deep message, isn't it? Huh? You can't even go into this kind of message talking about what somebody else did. Or what somebody else is doing. Folk be talking about all that. Oh, but you don't understand. You think you up there talking all that stuff, else, but you don't know all the stuff that's going on in the church. I ain't got to know it. I don't have to know what anybody else is doing. All I got to do is preach this word. It's up to you to pay attention to yourself and see yourself, right? Why? Because at the end of the day, you're going to die by yourself and you're going to be the loser, right? When you said something, such and such, you ain't say none of them. Maybe the Lord ain't give me a mind to speak to them. Shame, and it's a sad thing if the Lord don't put you on my mind to speak to you. Because maybe the Lord gave you up. Isn't that something? Maybe the Lord done gave you up and said, I can't work with you no more. And I'm not going to let my watchman talk to you nor look at you no more. Because every time I tried to reprove you, you argue, you fuss, you fight, huh? You are a troublemaker, you are bitter, you are a busybody. So the Lord said, I'm going to act like I don't even see you. And let you do what you keep on doing. And you're going to die in your sin sitting up in the church, right? That's a bad state to be in, isn't it? Here you in the place where you can live, and the Lord say, no life for you. Then the Lord tell Israel that I done swore my wrath. They not going to get in. They were in the wilderness walking towards it. Huh? If that door represents the promised land, they were walking towards it. But the Lord already promised them, you not getting in there. That's a sad thing, isn't it? You see it right before you, and the Lord already promised you. You don't want that kind of promise on your life. That's why I tell you, it's nothing to play around with Jesus. He means what he says. And he's telling you to turn away from sin. You got to do something with it. You got to do something with it. You need to turn away from it. If it ain't right, just stop it. Huh? If it's not right, just stop it. It's not worth your soul, right? That's the truth, saints. That's the truth. Look at verse number 23.
Okay. Have I pleasure at all?
Now that's our position too. Say, Elder Scudder, what about all of those that have left the church? I can never say in myself that's what they get when something wrong happens to them. Because I do not have pleasure in hearing about other people's misfortune. Huh? I don't get joy out of hearing about other people's bad decisions. That's not something to joke around with. Why? Because that could be me. Huh? When I look at everyone that left this church, that could be me. They could be standing right where I'm at, talking about, you know, me, that I used to be here. You can't do that. Don't even fall down that trap. That's called self-righteousness. Huh? And you're no different than the other fella, because you're going to end up going to hell right with the priest you're talking about. And if you're not careful, they may repent and get out of this stuff, and you be stuck, right? Be in hell by yourself. That's the truth. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God? They should turn. Yes. That's why we keep on working with them. As long as there's life, we keep on working with them. Say, Elder Scott, are they a reprobate? That's not my position. I am not God Almighty. So I cannot determine if somebody has been rejected by Jesus. All I know is if they're breathing, I still got to tell them, you need to repent. Need to come on back to Jesus and get your soul right. Huh? That's why people have to understand in the church what the church looks like. Church, Jesus already told us that the church is like a great house. Got all kind of levels of faith in the house. All kind of people that have committed all kind of mistakes. Some amongst one another. But at the end of the day, we got to, as Sister Scudder said during her message, you need to peel back the flesh. In other words, stop looking at people as humans and realize that they are a soul. And Jesus says, all souls are mine. Huh? They don't belong to you and me. They belong to Jesus. And I'm trying to get that soul to stop sinning. That's all I want you to do is stop sinning. Isn't that something? You mean to tell me, Elder Scudder? A man could have been out there in the world, got married four times, huh? And get a mind to be saved. He needs to be a witness to all four of his wives. Huh? Huh? He said, you need to come on in here and get your soul saved. And they all four need to stop looking at one another, huh? Hating. Why? Because they got to peel back flesh and pay attention to what? To the soul. Huh? That soul needs to be saved, right? Is that a hard thing to do? I'm trying to tell you. You got to do it. Because Jesus himself said it. We, our goal is to make sure that we are focused on the what? On the soul. On that soul, right? If you look at, jump down to verse number 31.
Cast away from you all your transgressions.
Yeah, what should I do? What should I do with that sin? Cast all of that wrong stuff away from me.
Whereby ye have transgressed.
Yes.
And make you a new.
Huh? What do I need to do? So in repentance, it is essential that I make a new heart or a new mind. I got to change the way that I'm thinking. I got to change my definition of love. Huh? Oh, yeah. A lot of times we done define love and it's more closely aligned with lust. It's really not love. Huh? You know one of the old love is you go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 tell you what love is. A lot of times we go around talking about, oh, my mom, my daddy loved me. But then if you go look at 1 Corinthians 13, you really see, they ain't lining up. They did a lot of stuff. But they really ain't lining up with 1 Corinthians 13. But that don't mean you hang no dark cloud over them. Because remember, whose soul are you responsible for? That's it. Isn't that something? That's why you can't even let your children hold negative stuff over to you. They say, oh, such, but you was never there for me when I was coming up. And you just look right at them because I was in my sin. And sin is something real horrible. I didn't know no better. I was in my sin doing the best I could with a death nature inside of me. Huh? Well, you gave, nah, you're not going to put that over me. The Lord gave me a new heart. A new mind, right? I'm walking in the newness of life. Been down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. And he done promised me, I will remember your sin no more. And at the end of the day, that's the only one I'm worried about. Huh? Joe or Sally come walk up to you and start trying to talk that stuff to you. Remember when we used to do better? Yes, I was in my sin. I guarantee you Sally and Joe will change that speech real quick. Remember how we used to do such and such? Yeah, I was in my sin. On my way to hell. They say, oh, I'm going to leave you. Yeah, all right. You good. You good. That's right. We real good, right? And if you still doing it, you still in your sin. And you on your way to hell, right? I guarantee you, next time they see you, they won't say that to you no more. Right? That true? That lets you know if you ain't living, if you ain't giving that kind of message across, you need to change your speech. If every time they see you, they keep trying to bring up the old you, that's all they see. Oh no, Elder Scott, but I'm saved. But they don't see saved. All they see is the old you. It's up to you to show them a new heart. Right? Huh? Lord told you that's on you. Isn't that amazing? Verse number 31 is not on Jesus. A lot of times people will look at that and say, Lord, make my heart new. That ain't on Jesus. It's on you. You need to make a new heart. You need to change the way you do stuff. Make you a new heart and a new spirit. Huh? For then he asks you a question. Why will you die? Huh? Verse number 32, as a reminder, Jesus does not advocate nor promote you dying. He gave you the church for you to do what? Live. Huh? All you got to do is do your part, which is do what? Turn away from that stuff. All that stuff is not like Jesus. Turn away from it. Huh? Isn't that something? All of the oppression, if you had an oppressive attitude, if you were violent, huh? You need to turn away from that stuff. You like to flash your eyes. You know, you are one that could attract people with the flattering of your eyes. You need to turn away from that stuff. Huh? If you were one that liked to perfume your bed, huh? Want to say, I want to get all up in your nose. Let you know you need to turn away from that stuff. Huh? It's not like Jesus. Huh? Huh? That's true. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Maybe you don't know. It's a woman in the scripture. Says she was waiting for the good man to go away. Good man was her husband. She was waiting for him to go away so that she could get the other fella. And the other fella that didn't know her was inexperienced. She said, I was going to teach him. Teach him what? The path of death. Huh? She was going to teach him the path of death. Huh? She says, I done fragranced my bed. Huh? And I put on the best attire just to get his attention. And the scripture says, many people fell into her trap. You ain't the only one she slept with. Many people fell into her trap. But it's the path of death. In other words, she done made up her mind. She don't want to live for Jesus. Huh? He done made up his mind. He don't want to live for Jesus. He's okay with going to hell. Some people are out there like that. They're okay with going to hell. Talking like a fool. Because they have no idea what hell is going to be like. But they're okay going to hell. You want to avoid people like that. Stay far away from them. People that done made up their mind. I remember when I was coming up in school, I had friends. When we went into the store, they already had it in their mind. They was going to steal. Now, I ain't the only one. You have friends like that. They already had it in their mind they was going to steal. And it's not like they ain't had no money. They just wanted to do it to see if they can get away with it. So they can get outside and talk about how much they took. fella came out yesterday. We went to the store, and I told them young folk good. I said, go on in there. Take it here, so I can talk about him. I said, go on into the Wawa, get what you want. I said, stay with Darian until I get in there. One of the young little fellas, I was still pumping gas, he run out, arm full of stuff. I said, did Darian pay for that? Pay for what? I said, son, you can't do that. They'll lock you up. Why? Because you didn't pay for that. I mean, he just ran out. And the crazy part is, he ain't getting none of the stuff that he ran out with. When I went in there and paid for it, he didn't even want that stuff. That's crazy, isn't it? You would think he would at least want the stuff he had, but after we got in there and started talking, he didn't even want none of the stuff that he had in his hand. That's why scripture is true when it say foolishness is bound in that heart of that child. Now, just because they foolish don't mean you be foolish. So I had to talk to him. I said, look, you don't ever leave out the store until you know somebody paid for your stuff. And he looked, he said, oh. I said, you make sure that you take your stuff up to the thing and somebody pays for it, and then you can leave out the store. Well, Scudder, why you do that? I'm trying to train them up. Do y'all realize that someone at these little corner stores see him do that? They ain't going to let him run down the street. No. Something to think about, isn't it? That's why I tell you, this is nothing to play around with. This thing about life is nothing to play around with. We've got to be very serious about our souls. We've got to be very serious about the souls of those that the Lord have brought into our circle, to make sure that they get themselves right with Jesus. All right? Again, do not pacify sin. It is not okay. See, Scott, I'm just doing this and I'm struggling. You need to stop it. You need to stop it. It's not going to help you. You are on the path of death. Huh? You are on the path of death, not the path of life. Lord has already given you plenty of instructions. You said it. You saw it for yourself. I did not go into a lot of scriptures. I stayed in one book. And you saw what Jesus told you to do with that sin. He kept telling you over and over again, turn away from it. Turn away from it. Cast it away from you. He does not want you to die in your sin. So if he don't want you to die in sin, who is it that keeps tempting me to stay in sin? Something to think about. Huh? Something to think about. He don't really like you. Huh? He don't really care about you. And some people, their loved ones say, oh, I want you to meet my friend. I want you to meet my friend. Only thing you should say in church, and when you in the church, are they saved? Do they have a mind to be saved? Oh, here you go talking about that church stuff. Yes, because that's all that matters. Do they have a mind to be saved? No, they ain't got no mind to be saved, but they're not for you then. Then ain't nobody going to be for me. You put that judgment on yourself. Because you can find somebody. Lord will have somebody for you. But you got to make sure you put the priorities first. They need to be saved. If they're not saved, they're on a path that you don't want to be on. That the Lord told you to turn away from. What path, Elder Scudder? The path of death. The Lord done told you the wage of sin is what? Death. Yeah. If you don't want death, that means you got to get out of your sin. And if you love them, you should be trying to tell them, look, I know you might think I'm attractive and you like me and all that other good stuff. And I'm the one for you and all that other hocus pocus. But you need to get out of your sin. Oh, what are you talking about? What you talking about? You need to get out of your sin. And the only way you're going to get out of your sin is Jesus. But I like spending time with you. You need to get out of your sin. And the only way you're going to get out of your sin is in Jesus. But I don't think you for me. Amen. Lord, have helped me to avoid a lot of what? Heartache and a lot of pain. Because no good is going to come from it. No good is going to come from that. Lord done told you how the two going to walk together if they don't agree. That devil is trying to get you to walk with them. In other words, join in with the sin. But you already know what sin's wage is. The wage of sin is what? Death. You know that. They may not know that. So it's your job to do what? Teach it to them. show it to them. And then once they see it, say, oh, I was born in sin. Yes, because Adam and Eve's transgression, everybody is born in the state and the condition of sin. And you need to get off that path of sin because the wage of sin is death. Huh? Well, is that why you go to church? That's why I go to church as much as I go. That's why I act the way that I act. That's why I listen to the stuff that I listen to, because I'm trying to keep my mind on Jesus. Jesus did not bring me into this earth for me to die. He brought me into this earth for me to live. Well, I don't see you going this place and going that place. No, because that's the path of death. I'm trying to live. Well, you mean you're trying to live? All you do is go to church. Church is my life. Don't be ashamed. Church is my life. That's where I found life at. I ain't found life in the world. All that's in the world is tribulation. That's what the scriptures say. All that is in the world is tribulation. Tribulation is a bunch of problems. You go from one block to the next. All you find is what? Problems. Folk can't even get packages delivered. People stealing your stuff. And you would think they have enough common sense to take the stuff and go home with it. They'll take your stuff out the box and leave a box on the sidewalk. Demons. Demons. But this is the world we live in. That's what I'm trying to tell you. All that's in the world is what? Tribulation. It's a bunch of problems. You won't find that in the church. Sisters can leave her pocketbook open in the church. Won't nobody bother with it? Won't nobody bother with it? Sisters come say, well, somebody took something. We're going to stand here until we find what it is. Plead the blood of Jesus, because sometimes we may have a demon in our midst. That devil won't be comfortable. We're going to call Jesus, that righteousness, or get in that mind. And we ain't going to change no rules. Say, well, here it is. I took this out of your pocketbook. Don't you ever do that again. If we find that you do it again, this is not the place for you. Well, y'all need to close up. Don't nobody need to close up the pocketbook. You need to keep your hands to yourself. Stop touching stuff that don't belong to you. Right? We ain't going to run from the devil. No. This is holy ground. You're going to live a holy life. We should be able to be feeling protected in here. We should be able to not have to worry about somebody doing you wrong in the church. Ain't no tribulation in the churches in the world. Shouldn't have to worry about people doing you wrong in the church. That's true. Does that make sense? So you shouldn't have to worry about somebody looking at them sexually. Not in the church. Not in the church. Not in the church. Not in the church. No, not in the church. You don't understand. Such and such asked me to go, well, he may like you. He might ask you to go out on a date because he might like you. That's not sinning because he said he liked you. He finds you attractive. He shouldn't be looking at me. He should be looking at Jesus. Are you single? Lord done told you it's not good for you to be alone, didn't he? Somebody find you attractive? Thank Jesus that somebody's looking at you like that. Well, I don't find him attractive. Well, you ought to open up your mouth and tell him that then. I don't see you that way. And then maybe he'll go on about his business. Did you tell him? Did you tell him you weren't attracted to him? No, I ain't said nothing. I came to you, but that's your fault right there. You shouldn't have came to me. You're a busybody. Go to the person that you got the problem with. That's what the scripture tell you to do, don't it? You got to art with your brother. Go to the person you got the problem with. Stop being a busybody. You just want somebody to know that somebody thinks you cute. Does that make sense? You being a busybody. And you don't want to be a busybody. I'd like to scutter. I told Sister Scutter, I like you. She could have told me out. Well, the first time she told me, she said, you're too young for me. I had to go on about my business. But, you know, I told her, you like somebody, you tell them I like you. I think you're cute. I think you'll be a good fit with me and Jesus. Think you'll help me keep my mind on Jesus. Think we can do this thing called life together. Would you like to go out for a cheeseburger and some french fries or something? Yeah, I think that would be nice. We're going out. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You a man and she's a woman. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Now, I got a problem. It's two men doing it or two women, because that's not like Jesus. But if it's a man and a woman and both of you are single, ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I'm encouraging you to do that. Jesus told you it's not good for you two to be alone. Right? But don't use that. Well, we got to try it first. I need to see what I'm working with first. That's not in the church. That's not in the church. That's not in the church. If that's the only reason you're getting married, it's not going to last. Because stuff changes as you get older. If that's the only reason you're getting married, it's not going to last. Amen, Elder Scudder. You need to, you want to be married to somebody that you know is a friend to you. Stick with you through thick and thin, up and down, when you have and when you don't have, when you can and when you can't. Right? That's right. Spouse should see you at your worst and still be right there to help you right along. My wife has seen me at my worst. My wife has seen me in ways my mom and my daddy ain't seen me. And that's the way it should be. Something wrong, if stuff get hard, I go running. I need to go tell my mom. I be teasing my wife sometimes. I say, look, I be teasing. I'm only choking. I told her, I said, now look, when I get sick and I can't take care of myself, you send me back home to my mom and my dad. She said, you ain't going nowhere. You belong to me. She going to do me like that lady in Misery, break my ankles and everything. I said, you better not do that. You better. That's why I said, you better make sure they say. You better make sure they say. Be done gave you some tea with castor oil in it. You better make sure they good and safe. Because you stuck like Chuck right with them, right? That's the truth. So I'm done. Church, y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart. You may not sin again.